In recent weeks, the large number of unaccompanied children from Central America crossing the U.S.-Mexican border has captured headlines and prompted a renewed national debate on immigration reform. The surge also set off an ugly anti-immigration protest on July 1st that blocked three government buses transporting 140 immigrant children and their mothers to a border patrol station in Murrieta, California. A combination of extreme poverty, violence, and misinformation about U.S. immigration policy has encouraged an estimated 50,000 child immigrants from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala to make the dangerous journey to America's border over the last 9 months. In response to the influx, the Obama administration has requested $3.7 billion in emergency funds to pay for an increase in the number of immigration judges, border patrol agents, aerial surveillance, and new detention facilities. While many conservative legislators are calling for the immediate deportation of these children, the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act, passed with bipartisan support in Congress and signed into law by President George W. Bush in 2008, requires that children entering the U.S. from nations other than Canada and Mexico without a guardian must appear before an immigration judge. The law also recommends that minor immigrants should have access to an attorney and an advocate, placed in the least restrictive setting that is in the best interest of the child, and be reunited with family members when possible. In recent days, White House officials have suggested that they may seek flexibility in enforcing the law's requirements. Your reporter spoke with Gene Atkinson, Executive Director of the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, or CLINIC. Here she examines the conditions in Central America that led to the arrival of large numbers of immigrant children and the options open to President Obama to use his executive power to address the current humanitarian crisis and advance a more just immigration policy.
I had the honor, I would say, of going to southern Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras in November to look at what is pushing these children to come to the United States in large numbers. And these are the countries that are sending most of the children, those three Central American countries predominantly. We met with children who had been picked up in Mexico on the journey and detained. We met with mothers and aunts and grandmothers waiting for the return of their children because, of course, we're talking about the children who've made it to the United States, to the border. Many of them don't make it that far, and they're picked up on the way and then returned back to their country of origin. There's clearly not one factor only that's pushing these youth to seek safety, but the overriding factor that we saw and heard about over and over again was the escalation in violence. It is at every level of society. I would say the escalation is due in part to a shift from localized gang activity to a more organized transnational crime. It's part of everyday life in these countries. And the children, unfortunately, are the direct target of the gangs. Added to that, I'd say there's an inability of some of these countries, these governments and the communities to protect the children. And we heard numerous people in different ways just call it a hopeless situation. People are leaving truly because they are afraid for themselves. Parents are letting children leave because they fear for their lives. During our trip, we had one woman say she would rather her daughter die trying to get to the U.S. than die on her doorstep, and those were what she saw as her two options.
Gene, there was a particularly ugly protest in California where protesters blocked some Homeland Security buses carrying immigrant children and their mothers. What would you say to these protesters who seem to be less looking for solutions to immigration problems than to cast blame and, in all frankness, exhibit a lot of hatred towards these immigrants?
You know, I think my first question would be, if this were your child, and I say this as a parent of three boys, so if your child's life depended upon getting your child out of a country, what would you do? And then turn that around. How do we treat these are children? They're human beings, but they're children, even the most vulnerable. How do we treat them? It is sad to see what's been happening because generally Californians are in favor of immigration and immigrant rights through, you know, polling at least, shown themselves to be in favor of immigration reform, for example. I would say we don't do well as a country. We have not done well as a country when we act out of fear. I think we need to find a way to receive the people who are coming here that's consistent with American values. At the same time, we take a comprehensive approach to resolving this situation.
Well, Gina, as you and many of our listeners are well aware, there is gridlock in Congress over efforts to pass legislation that would usher in a comprehensive immigration reform. And it doesn't look like anything's going to be moving soon in Congress. President Obama has recently said that he may use his executive powers to move the failed U.S. immigration system in a more just direction. What would that look like? What would you advise President Obama to use in terms of his executive orders to set things right, at least in a temporary way or in a, you know, in a way to patch some of the problems that are urgent?
If we're talking about kind of a solution to this current issue with the unaccompanied minors, which is very distinct from immigration reform overall, I think the approach is multifold. I think a comprehensive approach to this issue with the unaccompanied children has to address the root causes back in the home countries of these children. We really should be strengthening these children's ability to apply for U.S. protection in their home countries, as well as countries of transit. Because if you give that opportunity, then you can make it an orderly program. And this has a history. It's been done in Haiti. It's been done in Cuba, Iraq, former Soviet Union, Vietnam. So that is something that is very doable. I think we need appropriate care and legal protections for the children who arrive at our border that are consistent with our international obligations. That, of course, the administration can do, and the administration is already taking trips to the Central American countries to talk with leaders there on some of these other issues. We are not in favor of detaining these families, the mothers with the children who are coming, but if there is going to be detention, it should be the least restrictive form of detention possible. There are some alternative to detention programs, which are very successful, have high rates of people showing up for their immigration proceedings, so we would encourage the administration to expand those alternatives to detention for the family units. And then there needs to be assistance for the children when they're returned to their home countries. Finally, there has to be prosecution of the traffickers who are abusing these children. That's on the unaccompanied minor issue. As far as the president's executive authority to enact some immigration reform, there is a long history of presidents being able to do that. We currently have a program, which I'm sure many of the listeners have heard of, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, and that is for undocumented youth who are in the U.S. and have been here for many years now. There has been talk of expanding that program. So the president, using his discretion, could expand it perhaps to family of these children who already have this status. Perhaps it could be for those eligible for the Senate's version of comprehensive immigration reform. It could be for certain groups of workers who are working in the U.S., or perhaps mixed status families. So families, and there are many, many of these in the United States where some members of the family have legal status, often citizenship, and others are unauthorized. There could be humanitarian parole for these children coming in. There could be an end to programs that require the local police to engage in immigration enforcement, such as, again, people may have heard of something called secure communities. These programs take the police away from where they really need to be focusing their efforts. In addition, they damage relationships in the community, which is vital to protecting communities and preventing crime. So those are just a few of the considerations that I think the Obama administration will be looking at.
That was Jean Atkinson, Executive Director of the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, or CLINIC. Find more news and commentary on U.S. immigration issues by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.